All right. We're going to read from Psalm 100, and I'll lead us today, but we're going to read this all together today, all right? You guys ready for that? We're going to read this aloud. One thing important about this psalm that I want us to see before we read it is there's five verses in this psalm. It's pretty short, but there's six exclamation points, all right? There's six of them, and so we're going to read this how it should be read. I think that maybe even the punctuation marks are inspired in God's word, so we're going to read it like that. We're also going to read the subtitle in this psalm because it is a part of verse 1, so we're going to start with that. You guys ready? Let's read it together.
Yeah.
A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You guys can be seated.
What a great morning it has already been. It's good to see you today. Listen, I got to address a couple of things. Number one, Mark was in here in case you couldn't see him back there, all right? He was in there, all right? That was incredible. And also, let me just say, Garen was beating the cymbal over here, and it took off. I mean, it was gone. I mean, he was hitting that thing. He's got back up there now. Garen, thank you so much, buddy, for using your gift for the Lord, all right? We like to have a good time around here a little bit, all right? Listen, our worship and production folks, these guys get here, they serve all week, they're studying, they're working, they're giving their talents, they're leading us, and I want to invite you to come be a part of them. Would you do that? There are people in this body who have been given a gift of knowing how to use an instrument, knowing how to use their voice. You may be thinking, I don't know if I could do that. Listen, they want to work with you. They would love for you to come and talk with them. In fact, Zion's going to be down front, and we would love for you to come at the end of the service, and you come and talk to him. We would love to have some folks who would join us in our production booth back there. I've had folks say before, I'm not real technical. I don't know what to do. I can tell you, we can train you. We can train you. You don't have to have an engineering degree. We can walk with you in those types of things. But there is so much that happens on Sunday morning for us to be able to facilitate all that the Lord's doing. And we want to invite you in on this. We have people who are able to do it every week, but the question is, it isn't just about trying to find people. It's us as a body expressing and using the gifts that God's given us. And so we want to invite you into that. So at the end, would you see Eli? He'll be at the back there. Zion will be up front. We would love for you folks to jump in and be a part of that with us. Listen, this week is Thanksgiving. I'm super, super excited about it. I love the Thanksgiving season, not just because Christmas comes on the backside of that, but I love it because I get to see family. This is that time of the year where we're eating together, we're spending time together, we're making meals together. We have, I've hit that point in my life where family comes to me more than I go to family. And so this week we have family coming in from all around. And I'm super, super excited about it. I don't know if our schools still teach where Thanksgiving came from. My kids have been out of school. I have grandkids that are coming. But just for a real quick reminder for those of us, or if you really didn't know, in 1620, the pilgrims landed in Plymouth, what is Plymouth, up in Massachusetts area, and they landed so late that they didn't have time to get crops in the ground. And so that very first year, over half of the people who landed ended up dying from starvation, from the elements. Somewhere around the middle of that to the beginning of spring, the pilgrims that were left moving into 1621, they made a pact with the Native American Wapanga peoples. I don't know how in God's sovereign plan all of that worked, but there was a coming together. They met, they talked, the Native Americans trained those pilgrims in the ways of that land, how to plant the crops, how to what you could eat, what you couldn't eat, how to hunt in this new land. And by the end, what was called the Autumn Harvest Festival, near the autumn of the year, these two people groups came together to celebrate an Autumn Harvest Festival. They didn't call it Thanksgiving, but that was the beginning of it. You had wild turkey, you had geese, you had ducks, you had fish, you had the maize, the corn, all the dried fruits and vegetables, all those things. And they sat down and they had a great meal of Thanksgiving. That's where our meal kind of originates, just to be real honest with you. In 1863, after the end, right near the end, I mean, it had been only several, maybe not even a couple of weeks after the end of the Gettysburg battle in the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation, a decree, that 1 year from that date, 1863, so in the next year, 1864, that there would be a national day of Thanksgiving, a day where people would gather and give thanks, and it would be towards the end of, I believe if I remember correctly, it'd be the last Thursday of the month of November. It wasn't until 1941 that there was a law enacted that the fourth Thursday of November would be a federally mandated holiday for us to stop, give thanks. Now listen, we don't stop and give thanks today. That's kind of like the run-up to Christmas, isn't it? That's where holidays begin. That's where you're doing all this shopping. But in 1941, it was about we're stopping, we're going to worship, we're going to remember and give thanks to the Lord for all that he has done, all that he has given. Folks, this week, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to stop and remember, to thank him. Typically, what ends up happening is we remember and we're thankful for all these good things that he has given us. And we have much to remember, don't we? I mean, listen, we have many good gifts, many good things. But you realize, and I want to point this out to you, that Thanksgiving for the believer is not just about being thankful for the gift. It's being thankful for the giver of the gift. Ultimately, the reason that we have anything, the reason that we have anything is because we have one who is a good gift giver. And our greatest gift is God himself. That is our greatest gift. The only reason that we have anything, the scripture tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. You know why? Because he is a good and perfect Father. He is good. He's good. In all ways, at all times, in all areas, he is good. And that's hard for us to see sometimes. The passage that we just read together, that we proclaimed, is a psalm of thanksgiving. And today, what I want us to begin to see, I want us to begin to look at for just a few moments, is I think this psalm points out a few things. And I want to try to be brief today. I'm going to emphasize try. I'm going to try to be brief today. There's a few things that I just want to point you towards as we look back through Psalm 100. This is the only psalm. This is the only psalm that has a title in the verse. Many psalms have titles. This one in Psalm 100, verse 1, starts out by telling us, look there with me in your word if you have that. It says, a psalm for giving thanks. That's part of verse 1. That's not just the title. That's part of verse 1. A psalm for giving thanks. This is a psalm. This is a song. You know, that's what psalms mean, don't you? It means it's a song. This is a song that calls us to be thankful. Be thankful to the one who is the giver of good gifts. You know, the greatest gift that you've ever received is mercy. You know what mercy is, don't you? Mercy is us not getting what we rightfully deserve. We all the time desire fairness. We don't want fairness. We want mercy. I can't think of a time in my life, or maybe even in your life, where we want mercy. When we mess up, we don't want fairness. We want somebody to forgive us. Let it go by. Now, God doesn't let things go by for us because he is a just God. So therefore, he extends mercy so that at the right time, he sent a Savior. We'll get there. The pastor that we quote often, his name is Charles Spurgeon. He probably said every great thing that ever comes out of it's everywhere. Charles Spurgeon probably said it. He was a British pastor back in the 1800s. He said this: so long as we are receivers of mercy, we must be givers of thanks. So long as we are receivers of mercy, we must be givers of thanks. And that is the supreme thing that you and I can do as followers of Jesus Christ, is to be givers of thanks. And the only way that we're going to be givers of thanks is if we develop and lead our heart toward gratitude. Lead our heart toward being a gracious and a people of gratitude, looking at everything that the Lord God has done, all that he is, who he is, and in light of who he is, what we have. The reason that we're able to love is because he first loved. The reason that we have anything, a house, a car, a children, family, friends, is because he is a good God to us. He is a good God. So if we're going to lead our hearts towards being thankful, the very first thing that I want us to see is that we have to be people who are willing to celebrate. We have to be willing to celebrate. Look at verse 1 and 2 again. Look at verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2 say this: make a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Listen, in our world today, there's so many things that we can look around and we can get anxious about. We can get upset about. It's not going my way. This didn't happen. We can be cynical about. But as believers in Jesus Christ, if we're going to have an attitude that is full of being gracious and grateful and be thankful, then we have to be people who are willing to celebrate all that God has done and all that he is, for who he is. You know, the scripture tells us here in verse 1, it says that make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. All the earth. Psalm 24 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Do you know the scriptures also tells us that if we don't cry out, if we don't worship him, if we don't lift our voices, the rocks will praise him. With this word here that begins when it talks about, he says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. That word noise in the Hebrew is the word shout. It's the word shout. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. He says, make a joyful noise. Guys, listen, I want to tell you something. Every week, every Monday, our staff gathers to talk about what all happened on Sunday. And every week, we talk about how much we love hearing you sing. This is a singing body. This is a singing group of people. And I am so thankful. Some of you are going, I don't do a whole lot of singing. Listen, I'm going to encourage you. We want you to sing. I don't care what your voice sounds like. It says make a joyful noise. Make a shout. That's why I sit on the front row, so you don't have to hear me. That's why we turn the volume up, so nobody around you has to listen to you. Can I also tell you this? That you're not singing for anyone around you. You're singing for an audience of one. He is the living Lord God. You're singing for him. This says to shout. Now, listen, we're not in a funeral dirge here. There is an appropriate time. There's a time for every season under heaven. But when we come together, this isn't a funeral. This is not a lament. We should be quiet and reverential at the right times. But this tells us that when we come together, that we make a shout to the Lord. We make a beautiful, joyful noise. Men, this happens with ladies also sometimes. Men, listen, if you want your family to be changed, start singing. I know that's difficult for you right now. Some of you are going, I don't like to sing. You probably are singing in the car on your way to work. Turn on a radio. So you're going, you don't know me. I don't do that. Well, I'll also tell you, this is probably the time to start leading your heart towards that. Listen, when we come before the King of Kings, men, women, we don't want to come and gather here in an attitude of celebration like this. And we want to come with a shout of joy that we celebrate God, who you are. Did you notice what he says here in verse 2? He says, serve the Lord with gladness. You know, part of serving the Lord is singing and shouting the greatness of God. It is singing and shouting the greatness of God. Being happy, being joyful. Kyle, you don't know my life. I don't have a whole lot to be happy and joyful and glad about right now. I get that, but this is where we lead our hearts. God, in the midst of where I am right now, I want to celebrate who you are. I want to be grateful for what you've given me. I want to be grateful for my home. I want to be grateful for my family. I want to be grateful for my church. I'm grateful that Jesus died, and I celebrate that I now have eternal life. He says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. You know, this has the picture of people in mind. This isn't just like the earth that he's created. This is the peoples of the earth. The peoples of the earth. Everyone is to declare the celebration of God. Now, what we know is he's not talking about universalism here. Not everyone who's ever been born and ever lived is going to be around the throne of God. Only those who have surrendered their life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Those who have passed from death to life. Those who have had their spiritual eyes opened, who have surrendered and submitted their life to Jesus Christ. But the scripture is very clear that there's going to be people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every language gathered around the throne. John Piper tells us that missions exist because worship does not. There are people around the world, there are people around Murfreesboro, Christiana, Rockville, who are giving rightful worship that belongs to God alone to wood, hay, and stubble. And the reason that we go and we do mission and we share with them is because they're giving worship that belongs to God to something else that's false. This is why we should be thankful for those who are going, those who have gone out. This is why we are thankful. God, we celebrate them. God, we honor them. Not because they're super special, but they're following you. God, I want to do this very thing in my very own backyard. God, I celebrate you. Part of celebrating is when we celebrate all this God has done with our neighbor. We are serving the Lord God when we celebrate what he's done with our neighbor. And you're going, my neighbor doesn't know Jesus. What a great way to celebrate. You're telling your neighbor about how the Lord God has changed you. You're telling your coworker. You're telling your friend in second period. You're lifting up a shout. You're not going to believe it. Folks, I'm talking like you're proclaiming like it's Saturday night at an SEC football game. Except in Auburn and A&M issues, all right? Folks, I'm telling you, if we're going to be thankful people, then we have to be people who celebrate. But if we're also going to be thankful people, we have to be people who are submissive, who submit to the call of God, who submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, who submit to God alone. Notice in verse 3, verse 3 says, know that the Lord, he is God. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. King David declares that we can know that the Lord is God. Not only can we know, but we can know him. Listen, we have God's word. God, we know who you are because your word has come to us. You have preserved your word, and we can know you. We can know you. We can learn more about you. But God, you also, do you know how we can come, this whole passage here, do you realize that we can't do this unless the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us? We are not going to come into his presence. We're not going to shout for joy. We're not going to serve him with gladness. We're not going to know that we're his unless the Spirit is alive in us. So when the Spirit of God is alive within us, what we're able to sense, God, I sense you're telling me something. And so when we begin to sense that God is telling us something, then we go to his word, and his word begins to confirm that. God, I'm grateful. I am thankful. This psalm is about celebrating. It's about being thankful that we have the Holy Spirit of God alive within us, that we can know him. It's also about reminding us that there is no man-made, self-made man or woman in this room. I've gone through periods of my life, maybe you've been there, where you look around, and I'm thankful for what the Lord has done, but the enemy starts playing with me, and I start thinking that I did it. I've done this. I've pulled myself up by the bootstraps, my own bootstraps. I was smart enough to save this money. I was able to do this. I was able to go here. Whatever it is. But I want to burst a bubble here. There are no self-made men and women in this world. It is only specifically if you are a follower of Jesus Christ in here today. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, look what this passage says in verse 3. It says, it is he who made you. It is he who made you. He made you wealthy. He made you poor. He made you healthy. He made you sickly. He put you. Look, keep going with this. We are his. Listen, we're not our own sheep. We're the sheep of a pasture, and that pasture has a shepherd. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. You know what that price was? It was Jesus, the sinless Son of God that God sent to die a death that we could never die. He was perfect and righteous and holy. At the right time, God sent him to reclaim the glory that was taken in the garden. And when he died on the cross, they laid him in a tomb, and 3 days later, he arose again. Today, he is at the right hand of the Father. And you know what the scripture also says? That at the right time, he opened your eyes. You weren't smart enough to find him. I think I'm just going to read this. And you realize the Holy Spirit that is alive in you is the one who directed you, who called you. Well, a friend brought me. Well, I'm going to tell you this. That friend brought you because the Holy Spirit directed him. And you responded to that friend because the Holy Spirit brought you here. You are not your own. We are his people. You realize we don't get to decide what we want to do in life? He decides. We are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. God, I submit to you. For some of you, you've been kicking and kicking, trying to knock that door down, and I'm going to tell you, that door's never going to open unless the Lord wants it open. So at some point, we're grateful. Lord, I'm thankful for where you have me. I'm going to submit to your will. Jesus, I trust you. I trust you alone. I am thankful, and I celebrate where I am today. I celebrate what you have given me. John Calvin, in his book, The Institute of Christian Religion, says, you can't truly know yourself until you know God. People are running around today trying to find this and find that. And I want to be this. I want to do that. I want to go here. I want to go there. Can I tell you that the reason all those are dead ends? Because you don't know God. And when you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit removes the blinders from your eye, and then he gives you new meaning, new life, new purpose. And thanks be to God, many times he changes our desires. Because what we once desired and the door we're trying to kick in, he, because we've submitted our life to him, he now changes our desires and he opens up a whole new way that we didn't even realize were there. You know why? Because now you're his and he's in charge. He is the one. You are in his pasture and you are his sheep. This is what it means. Listen, Father, we're thankful. I am thankful that I am yours. Have you ever been in a situation in your office, at your home, maybe at school, and you have this big thing? You got this big thing that's got to happen, and tension is high. You're stressed. You're like running around. You're trying to figure it out. And then all of a sudden, your boss, your coworker, or somebody comes by and says, hey, I got this. I'm going to take this. And they take it from you. And when I say take it from you, they come along and they grab it. And what ends up happening in you at that point? It's like, whew, pressure's on. It's gone. Pressure's gone. Listen, when we come to Christ and we submit to him, we're not in charge of our world anymore. You can stop trying to be in charge of your world because you're not your own. Father, I submit to you and I'll do whatever you desire. And I'm thankful. Listen, that when we become thankful that the Lord Jesus is in control, that should cause us to celebrate. The third thing that it should do is this: a thankful people not only celebrate, they not only submit, but they also sacrifice. This verse 4 is kind of like, this is the center point of this psalm. Look what verse 4 says. Verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Bless his name. What's the context here? Well, this whole context, the entire context of the psalm, but specifically in verse 4, is the singing as you're going up to the temple or to the synagogue, specifically the temple, but it could have been sung as they were going to the synagogue. It says, enter his gates, the gates of the temple, as they would go. Many theologians believe that they would recite, good Jews and God-fearing Gentiles and others, that as they would go, they would recite Psalm 100 as they enter up the steps, as they enter in. It says, as they enter the gates, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And they would sing, you know, the psalms. Psalms mean songs. And so they would sing this psalm as they went. As they were entering the gates, as they were entering the different courts, the courts of the women, the courts of the Gentiles, as they were entering in, that they would be singing as they go. It says, give thanks to him. Bless his name. Folks, I want to tell you, it can be very difficult to to roll in here on a Sunday morning. I know because I've been where you are. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't understand. When my kids were small, we're trying to fight and get kids ready to go. And I don't mean like fight, but you understand what I mean. You're getting kids ready. It's tough. You end up getting angry with one another. You're trying to figure out how we're getting out on time. Yeah, all the way down the road, you may be struggling. So you roll in here, somebody got my spot, now the coffee's gone, there's nowhere to sit. What in the world? And then all of a sudden, me or Zion are going to try to do a call to worship. And when I say a call to worship, I mean literally call you to worship. And you may think, I'll just turn that switch. You don't turn the dial. This is why the scripture is telling you, you enter. We're to come worshiping with an attitude of praise, an attitude of celebration, an attitude of submission, that we are sacrificing. You're sacrificing as you come. You're going, how do I do that? What does that mean? How does that work? You know, in Psalm, I want you to write this down because I'd like for you to go back and read these. Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 is called the Songs of Ascent. And so what would end up happening is a Jew, as they were on their way to the temple, as they were on their way traveling to Jerusalem, Jerusalem sits at an incline. It sits high up. That's why in the scripture, when it says we're going to go up to Jerusalem, it is a higher elevation. It is a mountain, literally a mountain. So as you're going up, they would recite Psalm 120 to 134, the songs of ascent. Do you know what those songs were meant to do? Prepare them for going into the city of God. So when they got to the temple courts, as they were entering into the courts, entering into the gates, they were reciting Psalm 100 so that they didn't go to worship. They came worshiping. They came worshiping. Folks, I'm going to tell you, if you could be in the car with me when I'm coming to church on Sunday morning, some of you would like it. Some of you would hate it. It may be too loud. It may be obnoxious. But I have a playlist that's called Worship Prep. And it is just songs that I just sing and I have up as I'm going. Folks, for some of you parents and some of you, maybe you don't have kids in your home. As you get in the car, you may have to say, hey, listen, I'm sorry about what happened last night. Turn on that playlist. Pick a playlist Mary talked a little while ago about the Advent stuff that's coming. I think on that Advent website, there are two different playlists that you could download. You can create your own. And you sing. This is where I don't feel like singing, Kyle, when I'm coming to church. Well, this is where you don't feel like it, but you lead your heart so that you are entering the property at 307, so that you are entering the house, so that you are entering into the auditorium, so that you're not coming to worship, you're coming already worshiping. Folks, I'm going to tell you, when that begins to happen, there'll be celebrations, there'll be shout, there'll be people coming to submit their lives, there'll be sacrifice, we'll linger. God, whatever, it's all yours, whatever you want. This is what it means to be a thankful people. This is what it means to be a thankful people. And why is that? Why is that? Notice what verse 5 says. Verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good." For the Lord is good. I want to say this, God is good all the time. And all the time, our God is good. It says, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love," that is the word for covenant, covenantal. "His covenant love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Do you realize that it's written about you? Or written to you, not about you. It's about God, but it's with you in mind. Our God is good. As a follower of his steadfast love, his covenant love will never leave you, never forsake you, never turn you out. He will always be there for you. Always be there for you. It endures forever. You know why? Because God is never changing. It never changes. That should be something that we shout and celebrate. That should be willing for us to come and submit our lives to. That should be something that we're willing to sacrifice no matter what. God, I'm going to sacrifice my pride. Baby, I need you to forgive me. We're going to sing on the way. I feel like a fool right now, but we're going to sing because I'm going to lead my heart towards what we're going to do. Kids, as you're doing this with your children in the car, as you're, as you're leading them to sing, you're preparing them to worship as they come to gather with the body. This is what a thankful people do. This is what a thankful people do. You know, his goodness is his character. Everything about him is good. That may be difficult for some of you right now because you have been in a season and it's been tough. Could be finances, it could be relational, could be disease, could have been death. I don't know what it is that you're facing. But what I know is this, is it says, "For the Lord is good." He's good. What you're walking through may not be good. I want to make sure you hear me say that. What you're walking through may not be good, but the scripture tells us that he is good. And if we could see from his vantage point, we would go, "I see, I understand." What he does is for his children's good and for his glory. Now, our daddies, my daddies, me, all of us, listen, we never should look at a daddy and think that's what God is. It's the other way around. All daddies are evaluated in light of who God is, okay? But if you'll bear with me for a moment, if I could use a base illustration here. This is like a dad wanting to give his kids a really good gift and a good prize. Maybe he takes them to the donut shop. And like they go to the donut shop very regularly. And he lets them get a donut and they eat that donut. But at some point the daddy says, "You can't have a dozen donuts, son, daughter." Why, is daddy being bad because he doesn't continue to give me good gifts? No. This is not good for you. I can see where this is going to go. Maybe this dad has a child that is sick, that's ill. And he takes the child to the doctor. And the doctor says the only way that this child's going to get better is that there has to be a very, very difficult procedure. There's going to be medicines that are given. There's going to be, there could be surgeries. There could be any number of things. And the dad knows in that moment that the only, is there any way that we can let this cup that is about to happen pass? No. If you don't do this, and the dad says, we're going to have to do this, knowing that it is a severe goodness. Because on the other side of it is going to be health and life. Life. Some of you today, you're sitting there. You're wondering why the goodness isn't keeping flowing. And the Father is saying, listen, just hang on. I know what I'm doing. Some of you are going, what I'm facing right now, I can't believe you're allowing this to happen. And from where he sits, he says, this is good. It's a severe situation that you're in. But I am good. I'm good. If we could just see, if we could begin to understand, Lord God, I'm going to celebrate you. I'm going to give thanks to you. I'm going to be grateful for what you have given me. I'm going to come right now and submit myself to you. I honor you, Lord God. God, I'm going to sacrifice right now because I don't feel like singing to you. I don't feel like bowing to you, but I come to you. Why? Because I know that your steadfast love will endure forever. Not only will it endure forever, you're going to be faithful to the generations. You know, my parents, my mom used to wonder, how will Kyle ever make it in this world? This world's going to heck in a handbasket. Hell in a handbasket. How about that? So what's happening? It's going to be bad. How's it going to make it? I've hit that point in my life where I'm wondering, how are my grandkids and great-grandkids going to make it? How is that going to happen? Can I tell you how it's going to happen? Can I tell you how they're going to survive? Look at verse 5. His faithfulness to all generations. God's faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. In Exodus chapter 20 and in 34, when he's talking about following him, the law, following him, he says, listen, if you disobey, it'll go out, the consequences of that go out to the third and fourth generation. But for those who love me, who follow me, it'll be to thousands of generations. Daddies, men who want to be daddies, he is faithful. Follow him. Celebrate him. Submit to him. Sacrifice to him. Mamas in this room, those that want to be mamas, who want to keep those kids close, and I'm with you on that, I understand it, but I want to tell you, celebrate him. Submit to him. Sacrifice to him. Why? Because he's going to love your children. Protect your children. He's going to be faithful to generations. Does that mean that your children won't ever experience something difficult? No, I'm not saying that. But what I do trust and know is that he is good all the time. All the time. Today, I want to invite you, if you don't know Christ as Savior, to come meet the God who is good all the time. I'd love to talk with you about that outside afterwards. I'd also love to meet with you. Well, let me encourage you. If you're a believer in here and if you're struggling with having a heart of thankfulness, would you begin to just celebrate all that God has done, all of who he is? I challenge the first service, and I'm going to challenge us in this room. My wife's here. You'll need to remind me. This week, whenever you gather together to celebrate your Thanksgiving meal, why not read Psalm 100 before you do anything? We're just going to read Psalm 100. In doing that, you're giving an act of service back to the Lord, but also it may open up a conversation with somebody that doesn't know Christ around your table. I want you to bow with me. Father, I love you. I honor you. I'm so thankful for today. I'm thankful for this people. God, I would ask that today that we would honor you with our entire lives, that we would celebrate you greatly. We are thankful for you. We're thankful for Jesus, and we're thankful for you, God. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.